You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to give us a life of faith and of freedom from our debts. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how much do you owe? Depending on who you are in this room and the decisions that you have made, well, that could turn out differently. As some of you have student loans. Some of you have student loans that have been hanging around for a while. Some of those student loans have lived past you being in school for quite some time. Some of you are just getting into those student loans. Some of you have car loans. Some of you have house loans. Some of you have credit card debt. Some of you have auto debt. There's all of these things that we owe in this world. And the chances are that if you think about it, the likelihood is that you can think of at least one thing that you owe to somebody else or to some other institution, even if that's just knowing that your credit card bill is going to be coming in the mail in just a few days. That you owe at least that amount for using the capital of some other thing. And it's that idea of owing someone that kind of starts us off with this reading in Romans 8. In Romans 8, Paul starts off with this line that says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." And then he goes on to explain who we are debtors to. We're not debtors to sin, but we are people that have a debt to pay. And that is sort of the beginning of this argument that Paul is making about our life of faith. And that argument is that we are used to a world in which we owe something to somebody, and that we don't necessarily want to pay that back. You know, there's all of this sort of notion of, like, if I could get away with not paying that credit card statement, if I could get away with not paying my student loans, if I could get away with not paying my debts, well, that would be great. Because we'd rather just say, oh, okay, well, what I've got is what I've got, and I don't owe anybody anything. But then we start to realize that our debts are not only just sort of those commercial debts that I've been talking about, but that we have debts to other people. We have sort of relational debts. We have vocational debts. We have debts that are accrued through all sorts of different things. So, we have debts to the people that brought us up in the faith. We have debts to the people that have mentored us to get to the spots that we're in. We have debts to all sorts of people. And one of the debts that I think Paul is dipping into here, in order to get our minds around what the kingdom of God looks like, is this debt that we owe to our parents. This debt that we maybe understand on different levels, but this debt that we go, wow, those people did a lot for me, normally speaking. that there's in that sort of relationship something where we go, oh, this person gave unconditionally to me. They gave without making it an issue of debt. But if they were keeping a ledger, well, I would owe them a lot. I think we see this over summertime. If you are somebody who likes to garden, and you've maybe planted some things in the springtime, and now those things are coming up, and there's something here in that gospel reading that Jesus is tapping into, right? There's this thing of like, hey, I planted this stinking seed. It had better grow up and give me tomatoes. Because we feel that sort of ownership, that sort of idea that tomato plant, because we put it in the ground, because we watered it, because we put some time and investment in it, even if that was just sort of our emotional neglect of planting it and walking away and hoping that God watered it for us, that we feel like, oh, that thing, it owes me. And sometimes we can get this idea that that's sort of God's perspective on us. And we wouldn't fault him. Just like we wouldn't necessarily fault our parents if they were keeping a ledger of how much food we ate, especially as teenagers. We wouldn't necessarily fault our parents for keeping a ledger of even the advice that they gave us. Now, that'd sort of be a mixed bag because we'd have to say if that advice worked out or not. But there's kind of this notion of the owing relationally that we almost would say, well, yeah, that's fair. It's fair that God would expect things out of me because he created me. It's fair to say that, oh, look at that, I've got 10 fingers. Oh, those 10 fingers are there because of God. Oh, well, a lot of what I do in my life has to do with these 10 fingers. And so, what do I owe God on my 10 fingers? What do I owe God for the fact that I have some ears? What do I owe God for the fact that he created me in the way that he created me? I mean, even if you are a little bit older in this room and you're starting to feel that body start to break down, you can still have this sense, and maybe even more of a sense because you realize what it is to have it and now to have started to lose it, that you go, oh, that's a really great gift that God gave me. I owe him for just creating me. But he does more than that. He saves me. He sends his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. And I kind of feel like I owe him for that. I kind of feel like that's a big deal. That I owe God for the fact that he gave me back my life. That he made my life not only this mortal life, but an eternal life. That he gave me the opportunity to experience the resurrection and live with him for eternity. Eternity. If we start to monetize that idea of eternity, and we start to think about how much that really would mean that we owe that to God, we start to go, I'm going to be in hock for a while. There's not enough stuff in my house to take to the pawn shop. But on top of that, God sends us his Holy Spirit. And not only does he save us, but he invites us into his kingdom. He sends us his Holy Spirit so that we are infused with a new life, so that we can read his word, so that we can understand what he's doing. And all of that is worth something as well. And so pretty soon we go, oh man, I owe God a lot. Just in the same way that when you look at your parent or you look at that father figure, that mother figure in your life, and you go, look at all of what they did for me and never gave me a bill for. But the beauty is that that's exactly how God treats us. That what Paul says here is at the end of that reading, is that God gave us all of these gifts not so that we could be tied to him, owing him, not so that he could make every call in our lives and say, hey, you had better do this, otherwise I'm cutting you off. But rather, God said, you are free. I bought you your creation. I bought you your redemption. I bought you your sanctification so that you could be free. So that you could grow up into the person that I know that you can be. And that's an awful lot of trust. That's an awful lot of faith that God puts in us. It's an awful lot of faith that your parents probably put into you. It's an awful lot of faith that your teachers probably put into you. It's an awful lot of faith that your employers have probably put into you. It's an awful lot of faith to just say, what I want out of you is to be what I know that you can be. And we come back at God, knowing our sinful hearts, and we argue with him, and we go, God, you don't want to know what I can be. God, I know what I can be, and what I can be is an absolute screw-up. God, I know what I can be, and I can be someone who does ill to the people around me and to myself. God, I know what I can be, and I can be somebody who is selfish, somebody who is combative, somebody who is unfaithful. God, I can be all of those things and even more. You don't want to see what I can be. But God then comes back and argues with us once more and says, I know, I know, trust me. Jesus died on the cross for those sins. I know exactly what you can be if you are in debt to sin. And that's why I have severed that debt. I have forgiven you of your sins. I wipe them away every morning. I wipe them away constantly in your life. That you commit those sins and I wipe them away. I pay for them. They are no longer a debt that is counted against you, but rather you are set free from them so that you can live a free life. And there's something there. And it's maybe something that just feels aspirational right now. But there's something there that the Holy Spirit can work with. There's something there that maybe you're starting to go, what would it look like if I actually believed that? What would it look like if I actually believed that God forgave me of all of my sins? That when I woke up tomorrow, that I wasn't just a sinner, but that I was somebody who was set free from that. That God paid for my sins. That his own son died on the cross so that I could be set free from all of those things. What would it look like if I actually went out and I lived as somebody who was free from sin? What would it look like if I did that? What things would I stop? If I wasn't a sinner anymore, what things would I start doing if I wasn't a sinner anymore? And all of those things bubbling up inside of us as we think about what it means to be sort of that good plant that Jesus was talking about. That good plant that gets the gospel and then starts to reproduce. What would that look like in your life? You know, in the sort of 90s, There was this Christian fad. I think there were some problems with it, but there was also some good things about it. A lot of Christians would wear these bracelets that said WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? And it was supposed to remind you, okay, well, if I was in a place and I had the moment to make a decision, that I was supposed to look down at my bracelet and go, okay, what would Jesus do in this moment? The problem with that is that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi who lived about 2,000 years ago, and you go, I don't know what Jesus would do with an iPhone. But what we can start to think through is maybe just a little bit more, but we can start to think through, okay, Jesus was free from sin. He wasn't a debtor to sin. And yet, he acted in a way that showed that he was not in debt to that sin. And so, maybe the right question is, what would Jesus do in my position? If Jesus was here, how can I imagine what he would do? And I can start to imagine that because I can start to imagine somebody who is untethered to sin. I can imagine somebody who doesn't owe a debt to sin. I can imagine somebody who is completely clean, somebody who can go out and do those good things. And as you start to imagine that, there's going to be a little bit of this feeling of, but I do owe sin. I do make those foolish decisions. I do make those wrong moves. But Jesus has forgiven you. Jesus has baptized you. Jesus brings you to this altar so that you can have his body and blood. Jesus brings you his word. Also, that you can know that what Jesus wants from you, what God wants from you, what the Holy Spirit wants from you is to live this life of faith. A life that trusts what Jesus says is true. And so if Jesus says that you're not a sinner, well then go out and act like it. Will you mess up? Absolutely. Will the Holy Spirit bless what you do while you're acting like you have been set free from sin? Also, absolutely, because our reality is that Jesus Christ has died for those sins. God wants us to live into this life that he knows that we're capable of. Not on our own, but capable of because of him. Capable of because he has created us, because he's redeemed us, because he's sanctified us. Capable of a life that doesn't feel like it's in hock to all of the mistakes that we've made, but capable of a life that says, I know that I'm free because somebody else has paid for me. So as you go out into this week, remember that you do feel like you owe a debt to God, that he's given you so much that you could never repay it. But remember that he's not holding that debt over your head, but that he's given that debt to Jesus so that you can live into the person that he knows that you can be. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.